produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This program is brought to you by River of Heaven Radio Network USA World, produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-929-477-2324. Again, that's 1-929-477-2324.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Whosoever Group Radio Show. My name's Sam, a.k.a. The Happy Crow, and I'm happy to be with you guys today. Today, we are on Episode 4, or Radio Show 4, whatever you want to call it. So, our topic today, we're talking about a question. Are you a depressed son? Before we get into that, I want to plug the website, so make sure you check out www.whosoevergroup.com. We also have Facebook, facebook.com/whosoevergroup, and also Twitter, @whosoevergroup. Let's get into it. So, are you a depressed son? That's kind of a weird question. What does being a depressed son mean? First off, let me establish this. When I say son, I am referring to the general concept of a child. The biblical term son was not meant to specifically be gender toward male or female. It was just your child. Are you a depressed son? Now, what does that mean? If you're a son, that means you're what? You're part of the family. Now, family can be a scary thing for some people. What if your family hurt you? What if your family betrayed you? What if you know if your family finds out what you believe, you're in danger? What does that mean? What happens if you had that family who was just never there for you? You felt abandoned and alone. Sometimes when you say family, it can feel like family is a bad word. So I get it. So just from experiences that I've gone through, just so I can relate to this, I've been through the point where I feel like I'm not part of the family at certain points because how I think and because it's not as acceptable. And also, it felt like abandoned in ways of, you're supposed to be there for me. Where are you? I understand that. And it's a tough place to be in. It's not something you want to be in, but sometimes you wind up there. And I know from experience working with adoption, like, you're the child who's adopted can't trust family because the family that they had betrayed their trust. So family can be scary. I get it. So that's some examples of family. Let's look at what it's actually talking about. Let's talk about what God wants the family to be. who's in charge of this family that we're talking about? Because this family that we're talking about today is God's family. Who is the head of that family? Christ. Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the head of our families. Christ is the head of everything that we are. This is coming from a person who, when I talk, I'm speaking of Christ. This is a person who willingly gave up power, ultimate power, to come down, live a normal life with no privilege, and then get brutally beaten and murdered because he said, I want you back with me. Because I know you walked away, but I want you back so bad, I'll take your punishment. That's who's the head of our family that we're talking about. When I say our, you'll understand. The head of our family is Christ. Sometimes our family will let us down like we talked about. The question is, do you think that the man who laid down his life, the one who gave up everything, is going to let you down? Because he fulfilled every promise that he's ever made. I'm pretty sure that he's going to fulfill everything that needs to be done in your life according to his will, not our will. There's a reason I wanted to kind of establish what that family is and who's the head of the family first. The reason why is because a lot of times, even though we understand this, we understand the concept of it, Christians can have struggles with feeling inadequate or depressed. I've dealt with that because I've known you want to do the right thing, say the right thing, be the right thing, because this is how a Christian is, quote unquote, supposed to act. And we always fail. We always fall short. The last time that we spoke, we talked about being a bad witness. Like, everyone fails. And you can so easily slip into that mindset of, I'm failing, it's over, there's nothing I can do about it, and yeah, that's it, I'm a failure. Instead of saying, I messed up in the moment, you equate it to, no, this is who I am a mess up. So then you very easily can slip into that, especially if you have people around you who are not lifting you up. Now, let me stress this point. Make sure the people who you purposely surround yourself with, you can't help but be surrounded by certain. If you're living in a house and the people around you are not encouraging you in the household, if you can, you know, find a better place, okay. But that's not what I'm referencing. Or if you're like, you're at your work or something. I'm not referencing that. I'm saying who you hang out with, who you look up to, make sure that they are people who are going to encourage you. Show me your five closest friends or the five people who you hang out with the most. I'm going to show you how you're going to be in 10 years. Because we emulate. Humans are emulators. And we need to emulate those who are running towards God. Look at what Paul said. Follow me as I follow Christ. We need to be emulators of that. Because if we're not, we just surround ourselves with this depression, anger, hate, all that different stuff. We're just going to become a mirror of that and then wonder why we're in this state. We have to surround ourselves with more than that and with more positive than that. And I'm not saying that if you just surround yourself with everything good that you're going to feel better inside. No, that's actually not even going to be the answer to that. The answer to the way you're going to feel better is Christ. So let's get a little more into this. Now, the reason we a lot of times feel that depression, that inadequacy beyond what we just talked about, is because we've forgotten who we are. Let's read in Ephesians 2, starting at verse 19 through 21. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. When I say we forget who we are, when we're adopted, go back to biblical times. Or even nowadays, if you have, let's take some Western culture. You know, you're go out there, you're going to be, you're speeding in a car, doing something crazy, and you get pulled over by the cops, and like, don't you know who I am? Don't you know who my dad is? I'm envisioning in my head like a young kid saying this as I'm talking. They go to court, and now the dad has leverage. He has influence. So what is he going to use his influence for? Because let's say this dad is a famous person and or somebody very rich, and they can throw their money around and use it how they see fit. So that leverage, that influence, is going to affect the outcome of the child who did something wrong. Let's flip that, the inverse. The inverse is we have a father who is the king of the universe. And that king of the universe said, I love you. I made you worth it. You can't make yourself worth it, but I said you are worth it because I said so. I hated that when I was a kid and hearing parents say that. I'm sure most people do. Remember when you asked your parents and like, can I do this? No. Why? Because I said so. And now I have kids and I say that to my kids, and I totally understand why parents say that, because you don't have to go through the explanation because you just know better, and they don't need to fully understand it. They will, but they just need to trust you. Let's take that back with God. Why does God say you're worth something? Because I said so. But no, you're going to, I want the explanation. I want this. God's like, no, trust me. I said so. That's the hard part, though. We get to that hard part of the I said so, because that requires you taking that leap of faith. That leap of faith says, okay, you said it's okay, so I guess it's okay. Like, you're still nervous. You're dipping your toe in the water. You're not ready to jump all the way in. But a lot of times we let fear and doubt, that doubt of, well, I know God said I'm worth it, but I don't feel worth it. Truth doesn't match your feelings all the time. When I say truth doesn't match your feelings, what I'm talking about is, your feelings are temporary. You have everything go good for you in a day, you're going to probably feel pretty decent. You have everything go bad in a day, you're probably going to feel pretty terrible. That's just your feelings, and that's normal. I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all, but it's something that happens. But our hope and who we are is rooted in the fact that who I am is a child of God. He is the king of the universe. My day might have been bad, but my eternity is not going to be. So that's something to look forward to and to look up to, but a lot of times we forget that, and in those moments that we forget, we slip into that depression, into that doubt, and we just feel like, I know you said you love me, but I don't know. Where have you been? That's the other question we ask a lot of times. God, where have you been? There's times where that where have you been question, I can't give you a direct answer for that, because sometimes I don't know why God does things the way he does and why he does it the way he does. I don't have that answer. But I do know that he is good. We talked about that in a previous show where we said about the example from Chronicles of Narnia, the book. It's a representation of Aslan, is a representation of Christ, and there's a whole bunch of creatures in there, and one of the talking creatures, I know it sounds ridiculous, but hey, talking creature says, it's a beaver, the main characters, the kids in the story are talking to, and said, a lion, is he safe? Beaver looks and goes, safe? Of course he's not safe, but he's good. That's Christ. Never said he was safe, but he's good. And we know that because only the epitome of good would go through what he did for us. Now, we also forget that this world is temporary. Every day can feel like it's dragging on forever. Sometimes, other times, your day feels like, shoom, it passed by, and I can't believe where to go. I have so much more I need to do. So the how much you have to do in this world, how fast it feels or how slow it feels, is still, no matter what, it's temporary. Let's read 2 Kings 6, verse 15 through 17. There we go. 2 Kings 6:15. When the servant of the man of God, this is talking about Elisha, we'll get into that in a second, went out the next morning, an army of horses and chariots surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And then Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes. He looked, and he saw the hills were full of chariots and fire all around Elisha. I love that story, because multiple times this king was going after Elisha, and he kept getting away because God said, "Nope, I'm protecting him." But in this moment, God showed us something so cool. There's a whole nother realm literally around us that we can't see. The spiritual realm, where things happen that we don't understand, that we don't know why, but we know who's in control. This happens all around us. In that moment, God showed them, like, look it, you can see all this horribleness. You have no clue what I'm doing in the background. There's literal spiritual horses and chariots going around and waging war, because there's a war going on around us all the time, not physical, I'm talking spiritual. There's a spiritual warfare that's always going on, and it will continue until Christ shuts it all down in the end. Because the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Nothing is going to beat him. Jesus has already won. We are currently in our physical bodies waiting for us physically to catch up to what's already happened spiritually. So what's going on there is this crazy revelation, this crazy moment of, I can see the movement of God. And it's getting a little bit of science here. A lot of people were trying to say that God has been disproven because they found the Higgs boson, or they have a micro picture of the Higgs boson, which is a particle they say is made in every portion of everything. No matter what it is, it has Higgs boson in it. So this disproves God somehow. Just because you found God's movement or God's method doesn't mean you found God. He lives on a whole different dimension, a whole different level, and he's moving constantly. But yet we still try to find something to explain it away. And that's also a big cause of depression too. That when I'm talking about this depressed son, we look and say, and we question so many different things. I want everyone to always question and say, God, why is this happening? Whether or not you're going to get the answer, I don't know. I can't answer that one. But it's okay to question him. God's shoulders are big enough that you can question him. You don't have to go through life and just blindly say, okay, God, I trust you. Now, that would be ideal. That would be the ideal thing to do, because if we're going to trust God, we're going to jump right in. But we're human. We're going to ask questions. Now, when you ask a question and then don't do what he says, then you fall into the sin realm. But if you ask a question and then say, okay, I still don't understand, but I'll trust you and go for it, you will be rewarded for that. I still can't get out of my head this amazing image of, like, you're standing there, this servant was standing there, bewildered by seeing flaming chariots just going everywhere around him. That's awesome. I personally find that amazing. Everything's around him going nuts, and he goes, okay, is you don't really hear anything afterwards from the servants. Kind of like that kind of shut him up. Like, okay, I guess I trust everything that's going to happen because look what's going on around me. If we knew every step that God was going to take, we would have 100% confidence at all times because we already know. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. What does that mean? We're not always going to understand because we need to have the faith. If you trust something that you see, okay, it's obvious, it's right there. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. God wants us to trust him because for humans, it's the hardest thing in the world. Trusting an individual is always scary because you never know what they're going to do because humans fail each other constantly. And because we are living in a human world, we are only ever going to see that human failure. So for us to go, okay, now I'm going to trust something that I can't see. That's a big leap. That's a jump into the okay, is this what you want, God? Okay. But we're that leap that we're taking is so small because that leap is a little bit of trust on this life, this world. Eternity is so much bigger than that. What do I mean? The human mind can't understand the word infinite. Because it's more than we can fathom. It just never ends. It continues forever. And that's where God lives. And if God's living in that, how can we begin to trust unless we just say, I'm never going to understand, but I love you because I know you're good. That's what we have to do. We have to look forward to that also. Look forward to that saying, okay, I can't fathom being in heaven forever after I've said, you know what, after I've accepted Christ. I can't fathom that because we're here on earth. You got a good long life at like 80, 85 years. That's a long life. You can't fathom this. It keeps going. It doesn't stop. And that's where we a lot of times lose our ability because we can't understand it, so we're going to then fall back to what we know, and what we know is temporary, and then that just lets us once again slip into that depression. But we don't have to. You have to know who's on your side. If the King of the Universe is on my side, I don't have to slip back into that depression. I don't have to slip back into things that I know physically are here, but in reality, I'm already moved past that. What does that mean? We keep living a life like this is all there is to it. We don't have to live our lives like this is all there is. There is an eternity, but I think we should all live with a desperation. That desperation is knowing that other people might not have that opportunity to live with the one who created and loves you for eternity, unless they are given the opportunity. So it's our job to wake up out of our depressed sun state and say, you know what? No. I have an amazing eternity to look forward to. I need to make sure that everyone else around me knows because I don't want them to miss out. So we're going to pray a little bit today about this. And mind you, when I pray, I mostly pray to myself. Very rarely do I pray out loud. So there's a reason that we need to pray for this today. Because the reason is we don't know what day, what hour is our last hour here on this earth. So we need to make the most of every bit of it. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for who you are. Lord, I thank you for all you've done. Lord, I know that I'm a broken man. I know that I'm a broken person, but I know that you have made me whole, and I thank you for that. Lord, I'm everything that I have and will do wrong, Lord, I know you've already forgiven me, and I thank you for that. Lord, I ask that you open our eyes every day and remind us every day that you are our Lord, you are our Father who loves us, who is ready just to open up with open arms, just embrace us through every one of our faults. Lord, I pray for everyone who, within the sound of my voice, does not know you, that they can feel that pull in their heart, that they can say, I need this. I need this God who loves me. Lord, I pray that the eyes of their understanding be open, Lord, because they need you. This world needs you. And I thank you, Lord, for what you can and will do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you guys for being with me today, and remind you to check out www.whosoevergroup.com. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. And don't forget, you're loved, and that's never going to change. Talk to you later.